Thank you for listening to the Empire Podcast, where we teach you the abundant secrets of the mega successful, so you can live large and follow your dreams. Please leave a review on iTunes and check out www.angelinazimmerman.com. Welcome to Empire Podcast with Angie Z. I'm really excited to announce that I have the wonderful Andrew Martin, who is an energy intuitive, sound healer and spiritual guide. Welcome, Andrew. It's great to have you here on the show today.
Thank you so much, Angie. I'm so happy to be here.
So tell us, because obviously your title's quite unusual, tell us a little bit more about the work that you do.
Yeah, it's definitely not something you see on a business card every day. What to call myself has been always been a bit of a pickle for me, trying to figure out like what describes what I do in a nutshell. But basically, I read energy, I interpret energy, I primarily kind of work in the non-physical realm. It's something that I've always had the ability to do ever since I was a little kid. And at that time when I was a kid, I thought, well, this is just how everyone is. Everyone perceives the world the same way that I do. Come to find out, obviously, that's not quite the case. I read energy. So whether that's what's happening with the person, what's happening in a space, what's happening sort of globally or collectively, there's all these different layers that I can tune into. But essentially, yes. I'm able to read and interpret energies that are present around a person, a place, or, a collective.
That's absolutely amazing. And it takes a lot of, requires a lot of energy from you, right, to be able to do that?
Yeah, it does. What I say is that by the time I show up and I'm connected with a client or a group, my work is done, because the beautiful thing is that I'm like a radio. So once I'm in front of someone or in front of a group, whether it's a class or a one-on-one session or a workshop, I just sort of show up, tune in, and let the information come through. But certainly my work and my job is a lot of working on my own stuff, making sure that I'm rested and clear and, well-fed and all of the things that I need to do to show up and be in the best shape possible. But yeah, it does require a constant sort of focus on whatever's present and whatever's happening. And really, more than anything, my job is to show up, to be a clear channel. So I get to leave my stuff behind. I get to drop all of my own agendas and my own personal issues for the hour or hours that I'm working with people. So by the time I show up one-on-one, I feel like, hey, this is great. I can just sit back and sort of focus on whatever's present and whatever's happening. And really, more than anything, my job is to show up, to be a clear channel. So I get to leave my stuff behind. I get to drop all of my own agendas and my own personal issues for the hour or hours that I'm working with people. So by the time I show up one-on-one, I feel like, hey, this is great. I can just sit back and receive.
Wow. Very powerful. Very powerful. So can you give us an example, just for people to really clearly understand, what will people often request from you? Like, what are they actually looking for when they work with you?
That's a really good question. Generally speaking, what I say is people don't come to me when things are going well. Usually people don't usually book a session with me to talk about how amazing things are.
No.
It's generally when people find themselves stuck, when people find themselves in a place where they don't have answers, or they know there's something else that they want, but they don't know how to get there, or all of a sudden the things that I have been doing and the things that I have been focused on suddenly aren't meaningful or important or rewarding anymore, and it's time for me to make a shift or a change. So people come to me when they're feeling like they're lost and stuck, and they want to find the path forward. They want to find the way out or the way in. And so my job, really, what I say ultimately, is my goal has always been to get my clients to the point where they don't need me. So whether that's one session or 100 sessions, my job is to give people the tools that they need to create their own life consciously and deliberately. My job really is to show people the power that lies within them. They are inherently born with this ability to create their world, and we're always in a process of creating. It's just, are we doing it consciously or unconsciously? So my job really is to help people move from an unconscious life where I'm asleep at the wheel and I think that life is happening to me, and oh, look, I'm just a victim of my circumstances, to, okay, I am the director, I am the driver, I am the creator of my reality, and how can I begin to consciously create a life that I want, as opposed to feeling like I'm at the mercy of the world just happening to me.
That's so true. And I think you're right, Andrew. A lot of the time people do forget, and particularly when we are going through challenging experiences, they sometimes need that reminder or that support to be able to go, no, I am driving this. You know, I can do this. I can create what I want. Let's turn things around. I have the power to do that. So it's like you're putting the power back in their hands and reminding them of that, which is just amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So can you give us an example, obviously without sharing too much detail, but one of the breakthroughs one of your clients has had as a result of the work together?
Yeah, I think really what the breakthroughs have been is people realizing how these beliefs and these stories that we tell ourselves, right? Just for an example, someone at 7 years old, someone who's older and wiser, some adult in their life tells them, you know, men are dogs, love is for suckers, don't open your heart or you're going to get hurt.
Yes.
And at 7 years old, they don't stop to question that. They think like, oh, okay, well, this person is bigger and smarter and wiser, presumably, right? That they must know something that I don't know. So at 7 years old, we innocently pick up that belief and we carry it with us through our life. Fast forward 20 years later, you're in your late 20s, you're saying, why can't I find a relationship? Why can't I find a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever? And then we get in there and we do this work and we see that the belief that you have been carrying that all men are dogs, love is for suckers, and it's only going to hurt you, while you consciously may be saying, I really want a boyfriend or a partnership, there's unconsciously that belief is still active. And
yes.
So the breakthrough that happens is one thing that I know for true is that we can never create above our lowest belief. And if I have unconsciously on some level a belief that I can't have love or that it's dangerous or that it's unsafe or that it's not going to end happily, then no matter what I try, no matter what I do, if that belief is still active, I'm always going to be sort of working at odds with my desire. So the breakthrough often comes when people are able to finally see that reality, to hear that voice, to really see that narrative in front of them. And that's when we can really begin the work of dismantling it and essentially creating new patterns and new behaviors.
Which can take time, right?
Yeah, it does. You know, I say, if you come to me at 35 years old, it took you 35 years to get here. And so, no, the shift is not going to happen overnight. But one thing that I can promise people is that whether they work with me one-on-one in a group or in my mentorship program, I will absolutely be able to give them information, tools, and processes that they can begin to start using now to create positive shift in their life. So while it does take time and practice to relearn how to sort of be that master creator that we all are, the effects of living from that place and consciously creating from that place are mind-blowing, because it takes a lot less time than most of us would anticipate to create positive change once you know how to apply the information.
Exactly right. And that's the key, isn't it? And that's hence the reason they come and look for you and work with you, is to get those tools to be able to shift.
Absolutely.
I guess it's also to that self-awareness, because like you said, when we're looking at our beliefs and they've been ingrained in us for such a long time, or, you know, we're repeating a negative pattern, for example, like you said, if they want a boyfriend or girlfriend, yet they're going after the same type of person that's only breaking their heart each time, obviously something needs to change.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot like, I liken it a lot to, you know, working out at the gym. I can sign up for the gym, I can hire a personal trainer, but unless I actually step foot in there and actually do the work, it's not going to change. Just going to the gym and standing there saying, okay, am I healthy now? Do I have muscles now? No. A little bit of effort, and that's where I come in, is helping guide people to their truth that already exists. My work is not about finding answers. You already have the answer. My work is about asking new questions.
Beautiful. I love it. And so tell us a little bit how Sound Healer comes into your work. What is that?
You know, that's a really, it's an interesting interesting thing because it was at the end of 2016, I believe, that I was in a session with a client and I spontaneously heard these notes and these tones coming in. And very clearly, I was getting the message that I think I'm supposed to be making these tones and these notes. So I use my voice to create these tones and these sounds. Mm-hmm. And sound carries energy and frequency. And so the tones that I make create a container energetically where someone can really connect to, you could call it the soul, you could call it the spirit, you could call it the creator self, the higher self, basically the non-physical aspect that we all have. And the healing and the energy that comes through in those sound healing sessions is really about you connecting with your greater self so that you can really begin to merge and create that connection. The beautiful thing about the sound healing is that it doesn't require the understanding of the conscious mind. Mm. The sound healing sessions happen at the level of energy and frequency. So that's right. Something that the conscious mind, well, I don't care if you don't believe it, or I don't care if the mind thinks this is impossible. The energy is going to come in and it's going to do what it needs to do anyway. So the sound healing is a different thing. It's not really a conversation. When people come to me for sound healing sessions, it's usually there's something that we need to get at the root of energetically, and it doesn't necessarily require words or conversation to get there.
Yeah. I find that absolutely incredible, those types of healing sessions, you know, where you don't need to speak, you know, because it's not always the case that someone is comfortable going and speaking to a stranger, you know, like a counselor or a psychologist or what have you, and talking it through. I find like body work and, healing by what you do, the sound healing and things like that, are often 10 times more powerful and can create breakthroughs a lot more quicker than having someone go through, you know, a year of sitting down talking with someone. I often find that.
Yeah, and, you know, those traditional methods of, you know, talk therapy or cognitive therapy are super useful in many ways, but at some point we've got to just move beyond the need to consciously or logically or rationally understand something and understand that, you know what, everything starts as an energetic impulse. You know, even the idea, you know, I ask people all the time, how did you, you know, what's the first step in building the airplane? And people will say drawing the plans or cutting down the trees or whatever. No, the first step in building the airplane is having the thought, I wonder what it would be like to fly like the birds. So everything starts as an energetic impulse first. And the beautiful thing about the energy work is that it goes back to that place of the non-physical impulse that was the beginning of all of it. So it doesn't matter if you're able to understand it. All that matters is that the energy can get in there and do what it needs to do.
Yeah, incredible. So in terms of your work, Andrew, like what principles or practices? So are you coming from like a shamanic view or Buddhist or anything? Like are there any sort of practices that you engage to do your work?
Yeah, you know, I think when I look at, you know, shamanic traditions, religious traditions, whether it's Buddhism or Christianity, or, you know, whatever background you may have as a religious individual, or whether it's something you were just sort of born into and you sort of say, well, I'm a spiritual person. I think all of the methods and the traditions that we have are all pointing us in the same direction. And so personally, meditation and journaling are huge for me because I think more than anything, what they do is they show us where to access that stillness. And in the stillness is where the truth resides, right? It's beyond the level of conscious understanding. It's beyond the level of the ego or the mind chatter. The truth is something that we're born with. And one of the cornerstones of my practice and my own personal practice and the work that I do is that only you know what truth feels like. And oftentimes we don't have words for what we want, but we know how it feels. Or I might say something's wrong and I don't know what's wrong, but I know that I want to feel better. So when I really find myself lost or uncertain, I always come back to the feeling of like, okay, I may not know what I want. I may not have words for what's happening, but I can tell you clearly that I want to feel a certain way, or I want to feel better, or I want to feel whatever. So for me, it all starts with a feeling, an energy, and an emotion. And the way that I'm able to access that personally is through meditation and journaling to allow me to sort of find that stillness where all the mental chatter just goes away. And then I can hear the voice of that truth.
Mm. Yeah, it's really life-changing meditation. How long have you been meditating now? Like regularly?
The first time I meditated was in the late 90s. So that was, 20-something years ago, probably.
Wow. Okay.
And it's something that I come and go. Sometimes I'm meditating every single day. Sometimes it's a little less often. But I always have some sort of practice. So whether that's meditation or journaling or just sort of sitting and ruminating and sort of talking out loud and kind of, you know, having a brainstorm session with myself.
Yes.
Which sounds a bit crazy, I know. But
no, not at all. Not at all. No. The reason I ask is because I regularly introduce my clients to meditation. A lot of the clients that I work with aren't familiar with it. They don't sit down and practice it. You know, everyone's in that busy mode, doing, and, you know, sometimes burning themselves out to that point. And it's just so profound, the results that meditation brings, particularly
Absolutely.
If you haven't practiced before, you don't understand what the benefits are. And I always say to them, even if it's 5 minutes, it's not about the time. It's consciously sitting down to do it regularly, and then you'll get the benefits because you'll be able to quieten the mind for longer periods of time.
Yeah, and think about us as modern humans. Up until, 10 years ago, whenever the first smartphone started coming out, we were never at the place where we are right now, which is we are constantly being barraged by some sort of stimulus, whether it's
Yes.
visual or auditory or, you know, sort of just mental. There's very seldom time throughout our days, you know, apart from sleeping, where we let our mind be at rest. And it is so important. And like you said, even 5 minutes a day of just sitting and breathing and just focusing on your breath, give your mind a freaking break. It needs a moment to be quiet and sort of recharge and refresh.
Yeah. And I think you hit on an important note, though. It's important to remember that there will be times in your life, and I know for me personally, where, you know, at times I'm able to do 20 minutes morning and afternoon, and then other times, you know, I'm really struggling to do the 10 minutes or what have you. So I think that's important to note, just continually focus on the practice rather than, you know, the time or how consistent it is. Does that make sense? Like, because there will be times in your lives where you feel a bit fuzzy or not wanting to sit there and get quiet. Even though you know how many results it will bring if you do.
Absolutely. You know, I think that, and you said the very important word, which is practice. It's called the meditation practice, because
yes.
you're always showing up to deepen that relationship with yourself, to broaden that connection, to be more curious about what else you can find and what else can happen. And yeah, sometimes I'll go weeks without meditating. And, you know, when I find myself straying away from that practice, every time I come back, I go, oh my gosh, it feels so good. What was I thinking? Why
exactly.
But yeah, life happens. You know, I get it. We're modern humans. We've got a lot going on. But I promise you, everybody has 5 minutes in their day where they can just sit and be quiet.
Yes. Well, you often read interviews with, like, you know, billionaires and millionaires, and that's how often they make their best decisions, is by quietening the mind. And a lot of them, you know, they have that as a daily practice that they will not miss no matter what, because they know how powerful the benefits are that they receive from that.
Yeah, and think about in your life when you have had a moment of epiphany or that aha moment or that, oh my God, I see it. It never comes when you're sitting and wrestling and struggling and clenching around the problem. It never comes then. It always comes when you finally let go and just say, okay, I'm going to let my mind go to rest, right? It happens at 3 a.m. as you're falling asleep. You go, oh my God, there it is. Or it happens when you're mowing the lawn or doing the dishes or sweeping the floor. It's when you let your mind go still, so that it has a moment to digest and integrate that information, that it all clicks together. So it's not about doing to find the answer. It's about being. And the best way to be is just to find that silence and that stillness.
I love that. That's a really important point. And speaking of that, actually, I told you I was watching your videos this morning on YouTube, and there was one on surrender. Now, I think a lot of people don't fully understand what it means to surrender. Can you just give us some, like, your best tip around that, or some advice to help entrepreneurs be able to do that more easily?
Yeah, and you know, as a recovering control freak, I can say that surrender. You know, Control Freaks Anonymous. My name is Andrew Martin, and I'm a recovering control freak. Especially as an entrepreneur or someone who is sort of the head of whatever ship it is that they're sailing. it can be very stressful, this idea of surrender. And I think that oftentimes we equate surrender with giving up or with losing. And I am not talking at all about this false idea of competition or this human-created idea of scarcity or lack. What I'm talking about is surrender to what is. Now, surrender to what is doesn't mean that I am approving of it or that I want it to continue. Surrender to what is simply acknowledging what is going on in this moment right here, right now, because nothing will ever change until it is acknowledged as it is, right? You go to the doctor and you say, I want to get well, and he says, all right, well, first we got to find out what's making you sick. Right. We've got to go to a financial planner and say, I'm broke, I need help. The financial planner says, okay, well, first we got to look at what your money situation is right now. So any problem, any solution is only going to come through the acknowledgement of what is. So surrender is just throwing up your hands to say, okay, I surrender to what is. I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to stop fighting it. I'm going to stop resisting it. I'm going to stop trying to get blood from a stone. And I'm just going to accept, okay, this is what's here. This is what's now. This is what's present. And only from that place can I then begin to create or call in the solution. So surrender in its simplest form is just kind of walking in, taking an inventory, looking around, and just seeing what's present.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, actually, because acceptance comes up quite a bit for me in the work that I do as well. And I do find that sometimes people will resist or hold on to things from the past for some time, like, you know, sometimes many years. And they don't quite know how to shift that and to change it. And when they realize and are able to accept fully and also in the process of forgiving, oh my goodness. What a change. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. It's given me goosebumps just talking about it. So that's a really important point. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, Andrew, obviously being an entrepreneur, you would have success rituals in place like your meditation, your journaling. What about in terms of your mindset, getting your mindset right? What would you, what advice would you give to entrepreneurs out there?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest things, and, you know, one of the things that I am always very vocal about with my work, and one of the reasons why I'm so open and transparent about my own life on my YouTube channel, is that this work saved my life. Mm-hmm. You know, what I say is, if you want to heal the world, you heal yourself first, and then you share with other people how you did it. Yes. That's how we heal the world. You know, you put on your own oxygen mask first, and then you help others. But one of the things that has really evolved or emerged for me through the years of this practice and working with people and working on myself is the truth that I see is that the fundamental reason that we ever choose anything, from what we wear to what we eat to who we marry to what we drive to where we live, is because of how we think it will make us feel. The beauty of the human experience is that we use our emotions, our feelings, and our energies to create. The reason that I do anything, and I challenge anyone who's listening to this to get really, really honest, what is it that is driving you? Why are you getting up in the morning? Why are you saying the things that you say? Why are you saying yes and no to whatever it is that you're saying no and yes to? And for me to remember that whenever I find myself unsure or uncertain or stuck or frustrated or feeling like somehow now I'm sideways on the path, I just stop and I say, okay, what is the feeling or the energy or the emotion that I am chasing here? What is it that I want to feel or experience? And even if it's a thing, if I say, well, I want a house, okay, but what does the house represent? Is that accomplishment? Is that achievement? Is that security? So when you're not sure, get clear on the feeling. And if you are not connected to a feeling or an emotion or an energy state, more than likely you're going to lose your way. So for me, the first step is not a business plan. It's not a profit and loss statement. It is not getting funding or, you know, support. It is deciding, why am I doing this? What state or experience or emotion am I trying to create for myself? And when you're clear on that, everything else falls into place.
100%. And I have heard that, seriously. But I do know that people sometimes struggle with it, or they're adopting other people's idea of success. So what they believe success looks like. So they want all these toys and these new things and that. And I'm like, okay, but why do you want them? And they really struggle to find an answer.
You're right. People are out there chasing, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're right.
People out there, you know, they're chasing wealth and they're chasing material things and they're chasing achievement. And there is nothing, I love new stuff. I'm in a new apartment and buying furniture to fill this apartment is so wonderfully thrilling. But if I'm not clear on what is it that I, why do I want this? What is driving me? So absolutely, it's okay to want stuff and things. But if you're just out there blindly parroting someone else's version of success, it's yes. never going to happen for you because, again, only you know what truth feels like. So if I'm not letting my own truth and my own version of success be the thing that's driving me, then I'm just going to continue to try to, you know, sort of imitate what someone else is doing, and it's going to fall apart every time because I am not invested in it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Good point. So what would you say, because how long have you had your business now?
This will be, I'm going on, so this is my 6th year.
6 years. So yeah. In your time as an entrepreneur, what would you say the best piece of advice has been about your about building a business?
Gosh, that's really, really good. You know, I think for me, when I stepped into this path of being of service, because really in the end, that's what I do. I'm showing up in service of others to help and assist and lead and guide. And I had a mentor very early on tell me, Andrew, this work has nothing to do with you. And at first I was like, well, what does that mean? I don't understand that. And he said, your agenda has no play here aside from the fact that you want to help people, you want to lead people, you want people to get to the point where they don't need you anymore. Then when you step forth in session or in workshop or in class, you are there as a servant. You are there to send and receive information on their behalf. So it doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. It doesn't matter if the information that's coming through resonates with you or relates to you, as long as you know what that truth feels like and you know when you are delivering with authenticity and integrity the information for that person, that's what's the most important. So I think that for me to really realize that, yes, it's important for me to have dreams and goals and intentions and to have something, a target that I'm moving towards, but ultimately I know that I am showing up in service of the people who seek me out. So my agenda has to really be being the clearest channel and the clearest, you know, messenger that I can be for them. And it really ultimately has nothing to do with whether or not I have a good experience aside from, you know, the things of, you know, that I need to run a good business. But realizing that, you know, my goal in life is really to help others. And so if that's the goal that I'm moving towards, then their needs and their desires kind of have to be my priority.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And it's so true. So true. Often we get too worried about, you know, what it is that we need or we want or we want to do or, you know, how people are perceiving us, when really it's about helping others and adding as much value as you can to do that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, success follows happiness. That's something that I have always lived my life, even before I was sort of doing this spiritual work and I was working in the corporate world, was that success follows happiness. And that when you are in that space of everything feels true, everything feels good, you're riding high and everything's sort of moving in the same direction, all systems are go, then it's free, right? It's liberating. It's effortless. You're just in that flow. So if you can find a way to be emotionally invested in what you do, that to me is a really, really powerful place to start. And I'm sure there's many people out there would say, oh no, emotions have no place in business. And I would say, absolutely they do. If I don't feel good about the thing that I am doing 60, 70, 80 hours a week,
yes.
if that is not emotionally fulfilling or satisfying in some way, then I am not at all interested in it.
Yeah, correct. It's about being in alignment, right? So in terms of when you first started out, so you said that you've come from the corporate world and then moved into your own business. What was the turning point for you to be able to do that?
The turning point was in 2012, I had had a series of spiritual experiences that were definitely otherworldly. And finally, in 2012, I found myself in this sort of Groundhog Day scenario, right? That movie with Bill Murray where he lives the same day over and over and over until he finds out, like, what's the point of this? What's the purpose? What's the lesson? That's what I was living. And I had found myself in 2012, I was in the identical place emotionally and sort of spiritually that I was, that I had been, you know, earlier when I was living in New York in 2005. And it was that parallel to see that, oh my God, I am in the same place, making the same mistakes, having the same experience. You know, certainly the cast of characters' location are different, but it felt exactly the same.
Yes.
That was the realization that I'm kind of heading down a dark path, and that until I get really clear and really honest on what it is that I'm bringing to the table and what beliefs that are running my show, so to speak, nothing's going to change. And in fact, I could see that I was headed down a really, really dark path. So I finally surrendered. I finally said, okay, obviously, I don't know what I'm doing. Obviously, what I'm doing and what I'm chasing isn't working. So whatever it is that I need to do or to see or to know, I'll do it. And so I just sort of surrendered. And the minute that I surrendered, I sort of oriented myself. I did a 180 in my life. And from that point on, June of 2012, it was really just incremental steps towards beginning to build what it is that I have now.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people could relate to that. And, you know, I think that's why we do have so many wannabe entrepreneurs, you know, they might be in their corporate jobs at the moment and what have you, feeling like it's same day in, day out, knowing they want to do something different, but not quite sure, you know, what to do or how to do it. So it's quite interesting. So what would you say or who actually inspires you?
You know, honestly, and I say this with 100% truth and authenticity, what inspires me are the people who are willing to face their fears, who are willing to crawl into that shadowy internal place that we all don't, none of us want to go. You know, the people who are saying, you know what, until I'm willing to face my own shadow and face my own demons, things aren't going to change and they're never going to get better. So I have to be willing to do that. And I am so inspired and blessed to be able to do the work that I do and to walk with people through this journey of self-discovery. So those who are willing to seek their truth and do whatever they need to do to claim it. And then I just have a soft spot for anyone who's out there doing their own thing. If someone is marching to the beat of their own drummer, who's, you know, sort of swimming against the current, who's making waves, who's helping people see, that to me is what it's all about. You didn't come here to live somebody else's life. You didn't come here to be a cookie cutter version of someone else.
God,
be the best you that you can be. And whenever I see someone rising up in that power and really owning who they are, that to me is so liberating, and it inspires me.
Yeah, 100%. I'd have to agree with you on that. Definitely. There's so many amazing people out there doing incredible work, and I love to see it. And like you said, something different when they're just owning who they are, being themselves and helping others and inspiring others. Incredible.
Yeah, what's that saying? I spent money that I don't have to buy things I don't want to impress people that I don't like. You know, I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
You know, trying to fit into some sort of prefab idea or mad, you know, pattern or sort of template of who we're supposed to be successful.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got voices all day long. From the minute we awake to the minute we go to sleep, we've got voices telling us who to be and what to do.
Yeah.
And if someone can find the wherewithal to say, you know what, screw all that, I'm going to shut off all the noise and all the chatter, and I'm going to find my own GPS, and I'm going to follow that. That, to me, is so inspiring.
That's gold. That's gold. So, Andrew, how can our audience connect with you? What's the best way to contact you?
They can find me at my social media, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube are all Andrew Martin Energy. My website is andrewmartin.energy. So those are the ways that people can find me. On my YouTube channel, I do monthly energy transmissions. I also have a playlist on there, 30 videos in 30 days, which is if someone is saying like, well, I'm not spiritual or I'm not of that world, the 30 videos in 30 days playlist is a great way to sort of introduce yourself to my work, because it was a challenge I set for myself where I did a video every single day for a month, and it's just a really good catalog. I took questions from my viewers and my followers and answered them via YouTube. So that's a great place to start. I do live streams on Facebook and Instagram quite often. My website has, you know, people can book sessions with me via my website. So anything Andrew Martin Energy will connect you with me.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time this morning. It was great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely to connect with you.
Thank you for listening to the Empire Podcast, where we teach you the abundant secrets of the mega successful, so you can live large and follow your dreams. Please leave a review on iTunes and check out www.angelinazimmerman.com.